Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRayHallHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Ray Hall Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Steve Pavlik. We are ready to talk some Penn State West Virginia football. A 34-12 win for the Nittany Lions, Steve. You couldn't possibly have anything to complain about, could you?
I don't know, Jim. There's always a few things to complain about and improve, but I was pleasantly surprised, to say the least.
A lot of good things did happen, Steve. We will get to the couple negatives. There were just a couple of them. We will definitely hit that. But let's just start with this. Well, first of all, even prior to commenting on the game itself, you were out of town last week with the family, with the little guys. You made it back into town for the game to watch it. And what were the little guys like for the game? Were you able to pay attention to the game?
Well, the short answer is yes, I was able to pay attention to the game. It was just a question of the starts and stops. You know, when you have a one-year-old and a three-year-old, sometimes you fall into something known as the nap trap, where you get one of them down and he gets up just about the time as the other one does. So that sort of led to some of the pausing throughout the game. But I guess the weather delay in some ways may have actually helped me. At some point, I caught up and was able to go live with some of the text messages of some of my friends, and including you. So that's sort of how it all worked out.
Well, good. Yes. So there was the one advantage of the delay. Let's just get, first of all, your thoughts overall, what you expected going into the game versus the reality of what actually happened.
Well, I think I said before that the key to happiness is low expectations. And that's why I'm very happy, because I sort of went ahead with some, I would say, maybe lower expectations. And for the most part, Penn State exceeded this, particularly on the offense. That's where I was very skeptical. We'll get to, I guess, a later segment about, you know, some things that maybe could still be improved. But you know, I thought being ready to play and getting an early lead was something I thought was really important. You know, the first quarter, there were some jitters, but eventually Penn State did find a way to do that. They found a way to respond. I was very impressed with Kotelnicki, particularly scheming open a few guys for those first few touchdowns. So overall, I was pleasantly surprised.
So was I. I was nervous going into the game about a few things. And the national narrative, which I should be careful to avoid, okay? And to say I did avoid mostly, Steve, because I bet the Nittany Lions giving up whatever 7-8 points, and the national narrative was either that West Virginia was going to win this game or at the very least they were going to cover the spread, and that didn't happen. So that was my confidence in the team. But going in, what made me nervous was it was a mobile quarterback and two running backs who both accumulated over 750 yards a year ago. My fear was that between the running backs and a quarterback, especially on broken plays, making things happen, that was my concern going in. And candidly, that just really never happened.
No, I thought Tom Allen on the defensive side for Penn State actually schemed a pretty good game. I was a little surprised on West Virginia's end for not having some more, I guess, pass run options for Green at the quarterback position. To your point, that's something that sort of caught me by surprise. I sort of understand Neil Brown, the head coach there at West Virginia's philosophy of recognizing that he's at a talent disadvantage. And we talked about how West Virginia would want to get up early. I thought that's why they took the ball. I think that's why they went for it a few times on fourth down to try to, you know, stay in the game. But unfortunately, they weren't able to convert for their side. And that was fortunate for us. But yeah, I think with respect to the Penn State defensive scheme, I thought it was a lot of bringing the safeties up. My guess is it wasn't clear to me whether they had Rojas there to spy potentially or not. I thought he played a pretty good game on the linebacker side. And I think that may have been one of the reasons that West Virginia did convert some long passes, just because I think a lot of the safeties were cheating up. to help with the run, to sort of take that away and take away some of those first reads for Green. And I don't think that he was candidly as good enough quarterback to work through those progressions. He didn't have as much time when you sort of contrast that with Aller, who really had all day at times to pick back there. I thought did a masterful job.
He did. Let's stick with the defensive side of the ball for just a little bit. We got conditioned last year to the ultra aggressive way that Manny Diaz played defense. What did you see differently specifically from Tom Allen?
Well, again, I don't know that I was seeing as much blitzing the way that Diaz did. I think it was more just sort of playing straight up, and that worked well for Penn State. The other thing, you know, I know we talked about maybe a concern I had coming into the season. I stressed this lack of physicality. I thought the defensive line actually did a very good job on these third and fourth down situations in the short yardage. Like, one critique, I know we'll get to it later, is the officiating. I mean, I don't think that was a touchdown that West Virginia had. And I think a couple of those first downs they gave him, if you just looked at the review, it was clear that the guy didn't have it. So I was really impressed with the physicality, particularly up the middle. I know like some of those defensive linemen are a little beefier than maybe Diaz, you know, had year before. I think that was by design. The thing that I don't know is sort of just to manage expectations here, and we're not going to know until the season gets a little further along, is how good is West Virginia? You know, I think there was a lot of hope coming into the season that on their side that they're going to be a pretty good team, and they still may be. Just watch whether that's maybe now more hype. So, you know, we'll find out again. If West Virginia turns out to be a pretty good team, then this will look like a better win. If they're not necessarily the team that they were built at the beginning of the season, then, you know, maybe this won't be as encouraging as we're thinking right now. I guess where I'm going is we start playing some of these teams like Illinois. I think that's the first team that's going to come to Penn State from the Big Ten. And that's sort of where I'm wanting to see is, you know, is this defensive line conditioned to go up against a team like that? Same thing with the linebacker play. I think that's sort of what I'm waiting to see here.
And you make a good point. We don't know what West Virginia is yet. And that Big 12 is such, I was ready to say, a mess. I think there's parity there. There's a lot of decent teams, not a lot of good or great teams. So it's yet to be determined. But where I am happy about is there were so many games over the weekend, Steve, that were, you know, 50-0 against a team that didn't belong on the field with Alabama or, you know, teams like that. You learned absolutely nothing from them, nothing. And, you know, we can't be sure of what we learned, Penn State, West Virginia, but the things that we did get, at least it was from a team that has a pulse, a team that brought back a lot of talent from 9-4, I guess they were a year ago. So I'm very happy with that, and they'll be able to build on it. Before we get back to the team things on the field from the players themselves, you brought up the officiating. I did want to talk to you about that because there were and I got some of this reaction from people after that fourth down where they for West Virginia that they ruled it a first down. Replay showed it was obvious he was short. But the replay did not overturn it. Then in the next series, when Penn State gets the ball, there was the Omari Evans makes a play, and it was they could have called offensive pass interference. That evened the score. I'm not sure it evens the score. I'll explain why later. But my take was you can miss a play on the field. The game's going very fast. But that you shouldn't miss it in the replay booth, though.
No, there's no excuse for that. And honestly, I go back to the missed call, I thought, early in the game where the West Virginia, I think it was this safety, was clapping to try to get the Penn State guy, presumably, to snap the ball, which he did. And that's why I was personally very happy to see Aller get in the official's face. Because, you know, last year, one of the sort of critiques, at least the way he sort of came across with his body language to those of us watching the game, was he seemed a little timid, sort of this deer in the headlights. And I thought this was a guy I was very happy to see sort of be aggressive here, sort of take control and get the team sort of riled up. Now, it ended up sort of being a wash because West Virginia, the very next play, fumbled their snap, and actually Penn State gained a few yards there, which was great sort of, maybe a little karma at work there. But, you know, they stopped to look at it, and it was so clear. And I was a little disappointed in Joel Klatt calling the game. He's sitting there going, I don't know what Aller's talking about. I mean, come on, really? Like, they pay you all this money to not offer any just common sense insight here? It was obvious what he was doing.
Well, I'm a Joel Klatt fan. I do like him. But he missed that, and what I don't think they had was a replay that showed it. It was after the game that I heard that they said it was a safety who was doing it.
Yeah.
Which means they identified somebody who was doing it. And when they showed a replay from behind the quarterback, I think all it showed was the defensive front and maybe the linebackers. So it wasn't on at least that shot. They didn't get it. I was convinced that not that this is a reason for an official to change his call, but the fact that Drew Aller was so quick to say this is what happened, and it's so out of character for him to be that way, that I was very confident that that is exactly what happened, that West Virginia's defense did that. And at the very least, to your point, though, Drew Aller, you know, showing some fortitude there that he wasn't going to put up with that. He didn't have that poor body language where he seemed like a beaten puppy walking off the field. He was standing up for his team there. I'm with you. I was very happy to see that.
I was happy to see it later in the game. I think there was one play where he sort of scrambled to the left and sort of having the conversation, heated conversation with Jeremiah Trotter's son there for West Virginia, the linebacker number 40. And then later in the game, Aller gives him a nice stiff arm to put him down on the ground and tells him about it when he picked up the first down. I think the team feeds off that. I mean, I really do. And I think that just, you know, him being named a captain, these sounds like intangibles, just little things. But I think in the bigger scheme of looking forward to the rest of the season, I think this is significant. The offense is going to feed off that. Even the defense is going to feed off of that. And it just shows that, you know, he's much more confident this year, and hopefully he can lead this team to great things.
I'm with you on that. That is – it's a great thing to see, okay? And if we're seeing it as fans and reacting to it and saying, hey, you go, you know, Drew, trust me, the players are doing the same thing. Okay, absolutely. They are happy to see it. And there's also that case of, I thought he, and we'll talk about this more on the other side of the break, just how confident he seemed, how decisive he seemed when he decided to scramble. He didn't hesitate, which I felt like he's done in the past. We'll talk about that, Steve, when we come back after this break.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Steve, I'm Jim. We're talking about the Penn State-West Virginia game from Saturday, a big 34-12 win for the Nittany Lions. And Steve, I shouldn't say I hate when we do this. I just naturally do this. We got off on multiple topics, so I'll try to bring it back into focus, the couple things we were talking about. Let's continue with Drew Aller and the kind of game that he had, which decisive. Assertive are the kind of words I'm using. And those are, you mentioned that they're intangibles. They are, but they're important ones from your quarterback.
Well, the first thing I would point out, sort of, I don't want to get off the topic here.
It's okay.
Well, just the fact that he had time to be comfortable. Okay. Give credit to the offensive line. He looked very comfortable back there. He had all day to sort of go through his progressions, and he was able to do that, I think, effectively. I think at the beginning of the game, you know, he missed some throws, probably some early jitters. I think, you know, you saw that on both sides of the ball. Everybody sort of amped up. So, you know, I think what Kotelnicki did was sort of create some easy throws early on to sort of get Aller into this rhythm. I thought that first touchdown he schemed open to Wallace was, you know, again, as a fan, something I was very excited to see. And what I liked about Aller was, you know, sort of the cases where there wasn't anybody open, particularly on third down, extending the drive. That was something that was really a challenge for Penn State and even Aller in particular last year. And the way that he was able to look through the progressions, decide, okay, I can use my legs here and be effective enough to get the first down. I was really excited to see that. It speaks to his level of comfort, his confidence, all encouraging things. Where I'm sort of just wondering as a fan in terms of him scrambling was West Virginia just sort of, you know, at some point you have to give something up. Were they sort of doubling the Penn State receivers, sort of gambling, okay, Aller's not going to necessarily be able to beat us with his legs, or something they saw on last year's tape that he's not as quick to move out of the pocket? Or what I'm concerned with is, are those receivers for Penn State just not getting open in some of those cases on third down? And Aller sort of had to resort, you know, to using his legs to get open. You know, probably have to look back at the tape to see that and something to watch moving forward. But regardless, it was good decision-making from your quarterback, and giving him time to make those decisions is, again, a credit to the offensive line. But we sort of put this caveat, you know, you mentioned we don't know how good West Virginia is. And, you know, you look at where the offense struggled last year, in particular with Michigan and Ohio State, when Aller doesn't have that type of time. So that's sort of, you know, the thing to watch is moving forward. You know, will this offensive line be able to deliver that kind of performance and give him time against, I would think, more competitive defenses?
Well, I think we learned a few things. It was better if this performance were against Bowling Green, we would found out nothing. Okay. The fact that this is West Virginia, a team coming off a 9-win season and a team that brought back a lot of the talent, I think that that's obviously a good sign. The expectation level, the national narrative, all of those things were, this was going to be a really close game, if not having West Virginia win. So, and the fact is that this nice performance happened on the road also, I think, means something, Steve, based on history.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're only going to play better in the confines of Beaver Stadium. So the fact that you can go into early difficult road tests like that and deliver that type of performance is reason for optimism.
Let's circle back, as we were talking about Drew Aller, but right prior to that was about the officiating. And there's issues you could bring up about officiating. But like I said, when it happens on the field, it's a fast game. There's a lot of players out there, a lot going on. And, you know, to place the ball on a fourth down especially, they can get it wrong. That's why we have replay. But again, I'll ask the question, how in the world does the replay get it so wrong that you have the announcers on TV who will always make excuses for the officials? You know, they think they're being polite and they're being nice, but the announcers actually said it's an atrocious call. So how in the world does that happen, Steve?
I'm at a loss for words. And I like to talk about things that need to be improved moving forward. And then we'll talk about some of the issues on the field for Penn State and that. But look, I mean, Franklin, because the game, you know, sort of was, I guess, moving in a comfortable direction, maybe that was less of a concern for him. But, you know, I don't know if that was a Big 12 crew, but I wouldn't want that crew officiating any games moving forward. And when I say that crew, I think that applies to whoever's doing the replay booth there. I don't know how that works in these, you know, games where you're playing in different conferences.
I think usually the officiating crew either comes from the visiting team's conference or a third conference, you know.
Well, if it's the Big Ten, then that should concern Franklin. And you know, there's no shortage of games where Big Ten officiating has screwed Penn State out of calls. So, you know, to be able to identify them. And that's something that should concern the conference. I mean, look, you also have a lot of money now with the gambling coming in on these games, legally and in some cases before, you know, illegally. But the fact that it's legal now and encouraged, we have a lot of sponsors, you know, you got people losing a lot of money on poor officiating. And that will drive its own, I think, pressures to rectify it, hopefully.
I would think so, hope so. They've been doing the review, the replays for many years now. These things should have been cleaned up. And a lot of times they are not necessarily black and white. They're shades of gray. And you say, well, you know, you allow for it. But this was one that was just, I thought, automatic. But while we're going down that path, I want to ask you about a couple of the other calls that were at least questionable. One was on the Omari Evans catch on the long pass. Your take on it? Offensive pass interference?
I'm not sure that it was. I mean, when you look at the beginning of the play, they're both sort of, the defender and Evans both sort of have their hands on each other. I'm more of the mindset, you know, let the guys play. I know that's sort of easy to say when I'm a Penn State fan. The play worked out to the benefit. I mean, if you ask me, though, I think that is arguably one of the most consequential plays of the game. Because at that point, you know, West Virginia just kicked into the field goal. I believe it was 13-6.
Yes.
And that is a very different feeling going into halftime beyond just the three-hour version of halftime because of the storm delay versus Penn State getting a touchdown there right before the game on the ensuing play or so when I believe Aller found Wallace again. So to be up, you know, 20-6 versus 13-6, I think was just probably the most consequential play of the game because of that long play.
It was a big deal. And I think what was interesting is I saw Neil Brown in his post-game press conference. He was asked about it. And, of course, he thought it was offensive pass interference. But what was interesting is, well, I thought that, you know, they could have called offensive or they should have called offensive pass interference. And then he started analyzing the play, and he starts to point out that his player initiated the contact.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, at some point, if both guys are sort of, you know, there's going to be some contact going up for it. It reminds me a lot of like a rebound in basketball. Look, if the guys both have their contact on initiating on either side there, then let the guys play. And if the guy comes down, the ball, he does. And that's fortunately what happened for Penn State.
Exactly. And I feel like, yes, there was the – if they had called offensive pass interference, I would have – lived with it, thought it was okay. Again, exactly for what they talked about, Omari Evans extending his arms. But understand, he didn't initiate this. The defensive player initiated the contact. This was Omari Evans essentially saying, get off of me. So that was that. As long as we're talking about some of the more controversial or questionable plays, I have to get your take on going for 2 points after the first touchdown.
Well, so this is something I think in the heat of the moment, I was very upset about. I didn't understand it. The idea that you could be potentially chasing points here in a close game, you know, I'm not going to lie. At first, I thought it was a dumb decision. Then later in the game, I saw the field goal kicker miss, which should have been an easy field goal. And I can't help but wonder now, did that sort of enter Franklin, I assume he was the one that okayed the decision there, play calling, to sit there and go, wait a minute, I'm not that confident that even my place kicker is going to make these extra points. Maybe I should go for two. I don't know. Maybe I'm overanalyzing it. If there was some concern there, that makes me think differently about why they went for two maybe the first time. One thing that, again, I don't know whether a call like that is a special teams coordinator or because they have Pribula there, some consultation with the offensive coordinator. I don't know. I mean, I'm sort of contradicting myself from an earlier show where I wanted Kotelnicki to get Pribula in. I was glad that he did that in some ways and to put some things on tape. That said, that's easy to do more in these games coming up against the MAC, like Bowling Green and Kent State. The first order of business should be winning the game. And I thought maybe in the first half, there was a desire to sort of, you know, say be too cute, but to, you know, put maybe a little bit too much out there, sort of with the idea of let's try these different things versus let's just focus on winning the game. And so I don't know, again, where the ultimate decision there was to make that a 2-point conversion call. But again, that was a concern I know we'll talk about moving forward in these upcoming games is, I think Franklin said there was a kicking competition where they had three kickers. If you have three kickers, you don't have any kickers. And the fact that they put that guy out there and he missed that one gives me a lot of concern going into the season. And hopefully that's something they can try to address here in September.
Well, it's interesting. I literally had this conversation with my brother on the phone right before we started recording. And he asked or stated the same thing. Is this a case where he didn't trust the kicker? Well, it's an extra point. It's not, if you're going to say this is the guy I'm going to put out there for kicks, I want him out there to kick the extra point. So I want him to get a feel for the game because there may be a point later on. And as far as it's interesting, and I probably would have been the same way as I will accuse other fans of being, if he makes it, they're fine with the call. Well, I don't think I would have been fine with the call either way because a lot of bad things could happen. You're on the road, hostile crowd, you score, you've got the momentum now. You kick the extra point, you keep the momentum. You miss the two-pointer, you now give momentum back, which I think is important in this kind of game. I still felt you've got the better team. Anyway, we'll pick this up, Steve, in the next quarter. Stay tuned.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Steve. I'm Jim. We're reviewing the Penn State win over West Virginia, 34-12 on Saturday, a rain-interrupted affair. We're just cherry-picking different items, different things that went on during the game here with Steve. I want to get his take. And Abdul Carter probably did not have the kind of first game at defensive end that he was looking for. I know you and I were texting a bit during the game about it. Certainly the penalties were an issue. Overall, give me your thoughts on Abdul Carter's first game at D end.
I think he looked very much like somebody playing defensive end for the first time. And that meant that he was more of a liability on the field rather than an asset. I think it's too early to judge whether or not the decision to change positions was the wrong one, but I'm not encouraged by what I saw. Early in the game, I think it was very clear that West Virginia was running right at him, that they sort of viewed him as a liability in the run game. And there was one, maybe in the first drive, or maybe it was their second drive. I just remember it was like a pulling guard from the other side came in and pancaked him. He had no idea that that was coming. And then even on the pass rushing, I mean, Green, the quarterback for West Virginia, was constantly just stepping up. Looked like, you know, Carter was just sort of, you know, running himself out of the play there. So that's the type of stuff that's going to show up on film. And I think he was getting frustrated, which sort of leads you to the penalties, the jumping off sides. The bigger one, I thought, was hitting the guy late. I mean, 15 yards. I mean, that point, the guy was clearly out of bounds. And it wasn't just Carter. I know a few other guys, you know, jumped off sides as well. Those are things that are going to be cleaned up, particularly when you get into, I would say, tougher competition in Big Ten play. But overall, it was not a good debut for Carter. And, you know, sort of jury's out because we're not going to know, you know, when you watch him play against these lesser MAC opponents, you know, that's not going to give you a sense as to, you know, how much he's really developing as a player. So we may have to wait till Illinois, another team that traditionally has a good offensive line that's going to run the ball.
Well, I'm in agreement that it was not a great performance by Abdul Carter and just overall. I don't know if you saw the post game stats, but there were 8 penalties on Penn State and only 1 on West Virginia. That's significant. And several of those penalties worthy of the offsides type. So that's something that needs to be cleaned up. But I think the good thing is those are correctable type mistakes. And I do think he was getting a bit frustrated, but at the same time, he still, like, there was the one sack where he was occupying 2 blockers. I mean, and it wasn't just the second guy chipping. West Virginia was saying, we're putting up 2 guys against you. And his ability to occupy 2 blockers opens things up for other people. But with that said, yeah, I think he needs to kind of get his bearing playing defensive end. I don't think they'll change him back. I think he will get there, but it's going to take a couple weeks, I think, for him to get comfortable there, Steve.
Yeah, again, and fortunately, Penn State was in a position where they were forcing West Virginia to throw because they built a commanding lead there in the second half. My concern was what I saw at the beginning of the game when the game was still tied, the team just running the ball at Carter. I hope, to your point, that's something he could be coached out of, but that's definitely an area of concern and something that opposing teams are going to notice on the film.
Let's talk about the rest of the defense. Your assessment of Tom Allen, his first game with the Nittany Lions. I think he passed the test. What did you think?
I do. I mean, sort of mentioned it before. I don't think the fact that he was able to put up a great effort. Obviously, those guys were playing hard. Particularly, when we talked some of that. You know, gut check time and the short yardage situations. I think speaks well of him. I think I didn't see a lot of blitzing, a lot of scheming early on, which means you're not putting a lot on tape. And I don't know sometimes that you should make it overly complicated, because when you start doing all these blitzes, there's a chance that somebody's going to be make a miscommunication error and leave a guy wide open. I didn't see any major miscommunication. And I know that West Virginia did get a few long passes there. But I think that's sort of what Allen was schematically doing. Sort of, let's take away the run. Let's take away the quick reads for Green. And if we give up a few, you know, deep passes, so be it. But bend, don't break. Still don't have anybody get beyond the safeties too much to give up a long touchdown. So if I was giving a letter grade, I'd probably say AA- for the first game.
I would too. And I think some of the individual play, especially the safeties, and I don't know if you saw some of the numbers, but, you know, all the safeties, all 3 of the safeties came away with huge numbers, specifically KJ Winston, 12 tackles, Jalen Reed, 9 tackles. Not a bad performance.
I think they were playing up in the box there to try to take away that run. I think that's why ordinarily you'd be like, wait a minute, why does my safety have this many tackles? That's not necessarily a good thing. Maybe it should be the linebackers there. But I think they were very involved and very focused on taking away that West Virginia run game, and they were effective in that.
Give me your assessment of the cornerbacks. It was a big changeover in the cornerback room, including a couple transfer portal players.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that, you know, Green, the quarterback for West Virginia, was Dan Marino back there, you know, pitching guys apart necessarily. And I think they were tested the corners a little bit, sort of because these safeties were playing up to take away the run. But overall, I thought, you know, they did fine. It wasn't nearly as embarrassing as an Ole Miss game. But, you know, I'm not sure that West Virginia is necessarily the most potent passing attack they're going to face. May have to wait till USC. To find out really, you know, has the corner situation improved dramatically from where it was last year. But for a first game on the road, I think probably a B plus.
And I think too, when you're judging the defense, they've got, is there the correct game plan for the team we're playing against? When you look at West Virginia going into this game, it was that running game where you saw, again, the quarterback and 2 running backs, each with over 750 yards rushing a year ago. And none of them really had the kind of game that I think West Virginia envisioned. And me personally, my great fear was Garrett Green being that guy who would take a broken play and turn it nothing into something. And how often have we seen Penn State defenses on third and long? They, you know, rush people and they blitz, and all of a sudden that quarterback escapes and makes a play. Garrett Green never took over this game.
No, he didn't. Honestly, I don't know that Allen blitzed that many guys. You talk about the departure schematically from Diaz the year before. I think this was a game that made sense. They were able to get pressure with four guys up front on the defensive line. So I'll give them some credit there, which sort of forced Green out. And then you're keeping your linebackers, particularly Rojas, there as a potential spy. And the safeties, because they're up there to take away the quick reads, I think, for Green, really put him in a position of conflict. I sort of was like you, just based on last year, I would expect Green sort of to step up against the blitz and try to make some plays. But again, to Allen's credit, you know, maybe he sort of corrected for that and put forward a good plan. And the guys on the defensive side, to their credit, went out and executed it.
They definitely did. Let's go back to the offensive side a bit. And going into the season, this entire offseason, on our show alone, let alone every other show about Penn State football, all you heard about was explosive plays and the lack of them. Okay. All of a sudden, we see Nick Singleton rattling off huge runs. More in this one game, more big runs than he had all of last season, essentially. Plus, we had Drew Aller going down the field. I think you mentioned it at the end of the half, you know, the pass to Omari Evans. We probably wouldn't have even seen them attempt that a year ago. So how much credit are we giving Andy Kotelnicki in changing up this offense?
Well, and giving Franklin for credit for backing off. It looked like Kotelnicki was free to call his own game, which is something that I was hoping that we'd see heading into this. So I'm encouraged by that. And look, Aller has a big-time NFL arm, and that's something that's very difficult if you're trying to scout against Penn State to replicate in practice. So the fact that he can throw the ball anywhere on the field really has to keep a defense honest. Just simply throwing that ball to Evans 50 yards down the field, most people can't do that. And I think that's going to be important to try to make teams, you know, play honest against Penn State. I think the running blocking from the offensive line looked to me, you know, I know it's just the first game, we don't know how good West Virginia is to have improved. I thought Kotelnicki getting the ball to Bo Singleton and Allen in open space, throwing them the ball, I thought was something I was happy to see, something I thought we should have seen more candidly last year. I was a little surprised we didn't get Tyler Warren the ball early. I know Prabula ended up getting the touchdown to him later. Something else, again, I like the fact that we talked about heading into this week, let's not just run Prabula, let's go ahead and actually have him throw for a change. You know, I think the jury's probably still out on the wide receivers. You know, I know Evans had the big catch, and I know Wallace had two touchdowns, and obviously the long one where I'll give Kotelnicki sort of credit for scheming him open. Look, later in the game, I understand Penn State at that point sort of running the clock out and not doing that. And early in the game, at least in the first quarter, there was a lot of nerves. But, you know, one name I didn't hear at all was Julian Fleming. I don't even know if he played. So I think that was sort of something that I would say was at least surprising, if not disappointing. And, you know, moving forward, maybe in some of these upcoming games, you know, will Aller be able to spread the ball out to some other options? That's sort of what I kind of want to see there in terms of that maybe the jury is still out on.
It's interesting that you brought that up. I think you and I in our texting sort of brought that up at halftime. And I believe what you have to take into consideration is Penn State only ran 27 plays in the first half. And that's not many touches for many players.
No, and it was interesting. You know, Franklin, I thought, mentioned that right before the half, and I didn't realize it until they shared the statistic that West Virginia had the ball, I believe, for two-thirds of the time. Maybe been twice. They had like 20 minutes and Penn State only had 10. And Frank was sort of mentioning that the complimentary football, you know, Penn State at the time, he wanted to do some more sustained drives, eat some time off the clock to rest the defense. And then I think defensively, he was, you know, encouraging them to get more three and outs as opposed to letting West Virginia sustain a few drives there. But, you know, the reporter sort of asked, well, you know, it only took you a couple plays there to score that touchdown there before the half. And he's like, yeah, I'll take that.
Oh, yeah. Yes. You know, and as you pointed out, the throw to Omari Evans, the catch, that was made probably the biggest play of the game. It turned things around. We've got one more segment to go, Steve. We'll continue that train of thought when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Bobby Rahal Honda of State College. Visit us at our West College Avenue showroom or at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com. Allow us to demonstrate our commitment to excellence. Bobby Rahal Honda of State College, driven by a higher standard.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Steve, I'm Jim. We're talking about Penn State's win over West Virginia last Saturday. And Steve, we were talking about how few plays Penn State ran in the first half. And it was funny, you mentioned Tyler Warren, which in my head in the first half when I was like, oh, you know, we haven't seen Warren yet be targeted. And the very next play, they threw him the ball. It was a short first down. And obviously with Bo Probola, got him a pass for a touchdown. But if you look at the targets, Bo Probola threw the one pass. Drew Aller threw 17 passes. 17, that's it. Nine times he targeted Trey Wallace. So that leaves eight targets for the rest of the folks. One each for Catron Allen and Nick Singleton. All right, now what do we have left? You know, just six passes. So besides Julian Fleming, we also remember we heard Liam Clifford was one of the guys who had set himself apart. He wasn't even targeted once. But no, I think that has more to do with how few passes there were.
Yeah, again, you got to understand the flow of the game. I mean, the fact that not only was that Evans' catch that set up the touchdown before the half consequential, I thought the second most consequential play in terms of just putting a nail in the coffin was a long run by Singleton on the first drive of the third quarter. So at that point, it's a different game. Penn State's running the clock out. West Virginia, if they're being realistic with themselves, probably knows they're going to lose, but they're going to try to throw the ball. And so I'm not looking at the stats saying, oh, Penn State's sort of out of whack. It's like, well, look, you don't really need to throw the ball in the second half. You need to do some clock management there. But, you know, in the first half, they just didn't have the ball very often. I think that was sort of to Franklin's point about, you know, putting some pressure maybe on the defense to get some of these quicker three and outs, and as well as on Kotelnicki to maybe sustain a few drives. If there's one play that sort of stands out, I thought Kotelnicki overall called a pretty good game. Where I would have one fault would be after Penn State recovered the West Virginia fumble on the botched snap following the Penn State fumble the play before. That drive, I believe, was around midfield, and it was third and six, and he handed the ball off. I don't think it was Singleton or Allen, but I just sort of questioned the play call there. I mean, look, you can't get every call right, but third and six, it brought back painful memories of 2018 Ohio State at Penn State, where they handed it off to Miles Sanders there on the fourth down decision. Again, another questionable call.
Yes, and I think that was Catron Allen on that run. And yes, I'm with you on that. The only explanation, which I think Joel Klatt brought it up, was, hey, they probably thought it was two down territory. If I run for 3 yards, I'm going to go for it on fourth down. But I'm with you. I was not crazy about that call. And it felt like early on that Andy Kotelnicki with his play calling was just trying to get his feel for things. And we started to see some things. We saw the shotgun formation with Nick Singleton, and they had a penalty. And it felt a little bit like Bo Prabula. They were trying to force it instead of it being in rhythm.
Yeah, and that's sort of like my earlier comment is, you know, this idea of like sticking to the script. Are you just trying to be too cute, put too much out there for other teams, as opposed to just in a game like this? This isn't Bowling Green. This isn't Kent State. You know, focus on winning the game. At the beginning, I was just sort of had some questions about that. The other thing that I sort of wonder too, moving forward, is the idea when to keep Prabula and Aller both in at the same time. You know, when you're spreading Aller out as a wide receiver, I don't think the defenses really respect that. And it sort of, to me, takes away the whole point of having Prabula in there, is to be a legitimate running threat, so that you actually have 11 people that the defense is going to account for. When you leave Aller on the field in a receiver capacity, you're back to playing 10 on 11 in terms of that's just one person that the defense really isn't expecting to be much of a receiving threat or an impact on that play. So that's something I'm all for, getting Prabula in, particularly on some of these running situations. I just, at this point, I'm not crazy about spreading Aller out there at wide receiver.
That's one I do agree with you quite a bit, because I know that there's one defender who has to follow Drew Aller. Okay. And they realize it's, even if you have just one defender there, hey, no one looks and says, hey, Drew Aller's got one-on-one coverage. Let's throw him the ball. Right. No defense is saying that. But if you're, and I suspect they are going to do more things with both of them on the field at the same time. However, they didn't this time. You know, the whole game was just, here, let's put Drew Aller wide right, and I don't think they can get the full advantage of having the mobile quarterback that Bo Prabula is by having Drew Aller split out to the right. Let's see something else with that. But it did feel like once he got himself a rhythm going, that something, you mentioned it, that you got the feeling, which you never got last year, that receivers were being schemed open, Steve.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's when guys are running wide open. That's not usually a question of athleticism at that level. It's to the offensive coordinator's credit. And again, this is the reason for hope with Kotelnicki coming in here. This was something that he has experience doing at Kansas and Buffalo before that. And he had lesser talent to work with over there. The question is, would he be able to translate that coming into this role? Look, you have to keep in mind, West Virginia defense, Big 12. You know, we'll see how this transition works for Kotelnicki and against these Big 10 defense. But there's reason for optimism there. And look, just from the recruiting rankings and stuff, you know, I don't know that the Penn State receiving core would be at the top 10. You know, at least nationally, in terms of threats, which puts more onus on the coaching to work to get these guys open if these guys don't really have the natural ability to do so. So that's sort of, again, one thing I was happy to see this game. I'm hoping we're going to see more of it moving forward. It's just for the next few weeks, I don't know how much we're going to learn. I mean, we have Bowling Green, then a bye, then Kent State. So I don't think we're really going to know much more about the team until they play Illinois, I believe the last week in September.
Which is why, and I've said this before, that, you know, I called this my dumbest comment ever in doing this show for years, was this scheduling of West Virginia, a respectable team on the road, and that team has a lot of momentum and it's a hostile environment and all of that, that it's a great decision as long as you win the game, okay? But you because you actually learned something, Steve.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, obviously because the game worked out in Penn State's favor, it looks like the wise decision. And I will give Franklin and Allen and Kotelnicki credit. I mean, Penn State was ready to play in an environment like that. And I think, to your point, from the coach's perspective, they can see how these guys are tested in a more competitive environment. they will have a much better understanding of what the team has and what they don't have and need to address over these next few weeks, I think, as a result of that first game. And it sort of sets up nicely here to have the two MAC games and a bye to try to, you know, figure out some of these position battles. And what I really want to see heading into this week is more progress there on the field goal kicking. I know that's not the sexiest topic and thing to look for in a game like this, but, you know, later in the year, they're going to be closer games. You can't be leaving points on the board through missed kicks. And if you don't have confidence in your kicker, then you're going to have more of these. I remember going back to sort of the Bill O'Brien era in 2012, going for it more on fourth down as soon as you cross the 50. That really impacts the game. And that's something I really want to see addressed moving forward.
Did you see enough there a year ago? Sahadek, he missed a couple kicks against West Virginia. So it's a little bit of deja vu all over again. You expect to see a different kicker next week?
I'm not sure. I mean, Franklin, I'm just going off his comments because I'm not at practice talking about three kickers not really separating themselves. And if that was presumably sending out the guy he thinks is the best, I just didn't inspire a lot of confidence. Everybody has off days. I guess maybe I'm being overly critical because he missed one kick. But I would just like to see these next Bowling Green and Kent State more field goal tries and let's do some varying distance and maybe get a few guys out there. Because if one guy's not getting the job done, then get somebody else in there because the schedule is going to get more difficult moving forward and you're going to need to have somebody dependable. And if you don't, then that's going to impact the offensive play calling. Going back to may need to go for it more on fourth down, just knowing that beyond this down and distance, the probability of this kicker making it just really isn't that high.
Well, I'm typically an advocate for going for it on fourth down more often than other people are. I think the numbers bear it out that a team should do that. I'm wondering, though, if in these next couple games it'll be just the opposite. There should be no question about who's going to win these games. My question is, do you have a kicker? And I might, in another scenario with a game on the line, I might go for it on fourth down. I'm thinking, send the kicker out there. I want to see if I got someone who can make a field goal.
I agree.
And, you know, hopefully we'll see that. All right, let's hit on I think you got to look at Trey Wallace as my player of the game. I think that they were dying for a number one wide receiver. Did you see enough from him this week to feel like, okay, they've got a number one wide receiver?
No, candidly, just because I think that Kotelnicki, particularly on the first touchdown, really schemed him open. At that point, it was just a foot race, and I had confidence that Wallace was going to win that. You know, I'd like to see, I don't know this is part of his repertoire, somebody going back to more like the Allen Robinson mold, catch a screen pass and make a few guys miss and do something from that. I don't know if he's that type of player. But if he is, I think that'd be very encouraging. But it was a good start. I just want to see a little bit more of it, you know, consistency moving forward before I'm ready to declare him a dominant, you know, wide receiver number one. And it's still not clear to me, even though if you have one, then you're going to have teams sort of taking him away, moving a safety over. Do you have a number two that can be effective? Just going back to, I know they didn't have many passes, particularly beyond Wallace. So over the next few weeks here, even recognizing it's against lesser competition, can somebody emerge there?
You can't get a number two till you have a number one. Anyway, that is going to be it, Steve. Thank you so much. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.